Yo, you now tuned into Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's, I'd say it's like really the only radio station worth listening to. Here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland on the unceded Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nation's territory. You're in for a show. Honestly, today has not been the smoothest day, but honestly, who expects every day to go smooth when you have as many good days in a row as I feel like I do, like I'm blessed to have. You know, there's some days, you know, they're just not everything goes right. You know, some things get thrown off, but you know what? We're right back. You know, we bounce back. We get back at it. Listen, if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path before, you're in for a treat. Been saying this recently. I moved the show from Thursday mornings, 7 to 8, during drive time. Did the show for 2.5 years. 3 years before the pandemic and wanted to switch it up. So we moved it here to Tuesday nights. 10 to 11, right after the greatest hip-hop show, I was going to say, and you know, in Canada's history, Crimes and Treasons, comes on 8 to 10. But you know what? Sometimes Crimes and Treasons need a day off. Listen, you can't commit crimes and treasons every week. Sometimes you just need a break. And today was a great day to take a break because if you looked at the weather here, if you're not in B.C., honestly, I feel sorry for you, but today is one of those days where you can poo-poo at us because the weather was absolutely terrible. It was terrible. Honestly, it went with my mood and the rest of the day. But anyways, we're not going to get caught up in the weather and what the weather is going to look like from now until April. Today was a high of only 10. And it's going to rain for the next week. So honestly, like, it's not one of those weeks where you get to go outside and enjoy yourself. I hope that you took advantage of the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because they were beautiful out. I sure as hell did myself, because the next week is looking pretty bleak. It's looking rather disgusting, actually. So find a nice movie, maybe a nice series on TV. I've been watching Succession and playing a lot of Civilization. Honestly, if you play Civ and you have Steam, I'd love to beat the shit out of you. But if you do, you know where to find me here. You can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You can tell me about how you like to win. You know, do you like to win culture war? Do you like to win theology war? Do you like to win total war? Do you like to win economically? Because I am the type to just dominate with culture. Unless I'm feeling a little spicy, then I'll just try to steal all your cities. Anyways, got a lot of stories for you today. A lot of the stories are, it's really weird week. So, you know, here we talk a little bit on Off the Beaten Path. We talk about a lot of shit. We talk about, and it's never the same week to week, but there's some common themes, particularly when we talk about the BC stories and as we move to Canada stories and, you know, global stories and just whatever the hell else that, you know, my weird brain takes you down. And I got a lot of stories for you this week, but I'm just gonna tell you now that there's not a lot of, it's a lot of sadness. Like today, while I feel like it's been rough for me, it has been rough for lots of people. Shout out to my man's Caleb. I love you. You know, sometimes you gotta tell your friends you love them because. Actually, not sometimes, all the time. You got to tell your friends you love them because you never know. Anyways, when we're back, I got some great music for you today. And I got some great stories for you. I got a few jokes as we get through some of the bullshit. But, you know, if you're feeling spicy, you can call in. Let me know how you're feeling. You know, what's going on in your life? Listen, I come here. This is a conversation between me and my friends. You know, if you're sitting on your couch, maybe you're in your car. You know, maybe you got your headphones on, you're at the bar, and you're just like, you know what? Everybody here sucks. I just love listening to Issa and having a drink. I'm with you. I'm here. And when we get back, you're going to listen to some nice music. We're going to talk about some funny stories. We're going to shit on the CBC because, you know, we have to. And I'm going to tell you about what I think about Jim Pattison, but probably not how you think. When we get back. Yo, you're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. And listen, let me tell you. So, you know, I throughout the week, you know, I'm looking at stories. And I think I've mentioned this on the other side. You know, it used to be a little bit easier when Thursday when I felt like things were happening. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one that feels like this because if you work at the CBC, I feel like you should be able to come up with some news on a Tuesday. I feel like just like that's your job. Like, you know, my job is a little different than that. Like, my job is to, like, if you know me, I'm a researcher and I help brands connect with people. You know, that's what I do. So I like try to understand people and then I help people, other people, understand those people. You know what I mean? And help connect them. Like a matchmaker, but so you can buy stuff. And if you ask me on a Tuesday, you know, like if my boss, let's say, was to ask me like on a Tuesday, like, hey, Issa, I need you to write something, you know, it would be better than what the CBC, honestly, if the CBC boss came up to me and asked me, I bet I could tell you, you know, I could write a story. And like, I don't want to shit on this person's job, so I don't want to say their name. But I just feel like there's got to be a little bit more going on than this headline. I'm just going to read it to you. Surrey family stuck paying for a parking permit weeks after canceling. And so, like, I read that story, and I read the headline, and I was like, you know what? Maybe there's got to be a little bit more to this. Listen, the CBC sent a photographer out to this person's house. Father and son. I don't want to put these people's names out there because it's like, obviously, they didn't ask, you know, for the CBC to come out here and, you know, do a profile on them. But anyways, UBC student says he canceled his parking service on September 14th and was charged $300 for parking that he didn't use when he thought he was only going to pay $125. The CBC went out and wrote a story about this man. I called them 4 or 5 times. I've been put on hold, or the call doesn't connect for some reason. Like, I just, honestly, like, I feel like if you were a journalist, like, there's so many stories that go on. Like, there's so many interesting things that are going on. This is in park as well. So this is like talking about UBC. This is for parking that you don't actually even have to pay. Like they can't even come and tow your car. Yet the CBDC felt it was worthy of an article on their page. Like, I just don't understand. How do you, like, as an editor or like, you know, a journalist or a news organization, you're just like, you know what? I really need you to bring that parking permit story. I feel like I would quit my job immediately. Like, I talked a little bit about how, you know, I'm a researcher. I help connect brands. I've had a few epiphanies in the past few, I would say past, you know, since the pandemic. I feel like everybody's been going through it a little bit. You know, you just kind of think like, you know, what type of value am I adding? And, you know, what am I actually doing with my life? And, you know, am I doing something that's purposeful, you know, or am I just, you know, helping shuffle papers around, which most of us are, you know, like, does my job matter? And I just couldn't imagine that journalist getting up to work, you know, and thinking, you know what, this is the kind of heat I need to get off. And like, I just imagine that guy also probably wrote his resignation letter in that same day. Because if my editor asked me to write a story about damn parking tickets, I would have to quit myself. Like, that sounds horrible. Honestly, like, if you'd like to call in, and you can tell me, you don't have to tell me where you work or tell me your name. Or, you know, you don't even have to be on air. I just kind of want to hear, like, you know, what's your parking permit story at your job? You know, like what's something that your boss has asked you to do that was felt so beneath you? And beneath, like, your education level and experience level. And you were just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I cannot do this anymore. Because I have to imagine that there has been a few of you who are listening. Maybe you're at a job right now. And you're like, you know what? I'm actually doing that exact same task right now that I wish I didn't have to do. You know what? Fuck it. And if this is your motivation to quit, I don't have a job for you. But, you know, I do have some kudos. You know, we can get GoFundMe started, you know, so you can try to find your next gig, because honestly, it's too many people out here who are doing shit that is just not worth your time. But you know what is worth this teen's time? Listen, James Tom. I will say his name. James Tom, If you're listening to this, probably not, because you're 14 and you should be asleep. If you're listening to this, take your ass to sleep. But if you're not listening and you know James Tom, and maybe you go to a school, or maybe you're James Tom's parents and you're like, you know what? I love CITR, and CITR produces great radio content, and especially on Tuesday nights, because I listen to Issa and Off the Beaten Path, and it's great. Listen, your son's doing great. James Tom coordinates volunteers to sing happy birthday to seniors via Zoom. Now, one of the things that I think is a absolute terrible part of our society, and it's pretty much, I feel like, you know, due to capitalism and the lack of productivity within seniors, like, we can only find value in people when they're doing a job or producing a good or service. And so once you become an age where you're no longer producing good or service, you become worthless. And when you become worthless, we try to put you out of sight. So whether you're like, you know, whether you're homeless, or maybe you have special needs, or maybe you just fucking got old. You know, you suffer the indignity of getting old. In our society, that is basically the worst thing that can happen to you. And they just ship you off to some nursing home. Family comes out, sees you, you know, a few times a month. But, you know, fortunately, you can look. I mean, I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, James Tom is doing a good service. He says he just wants to show people that he cares. You know, so he launched the Birthday Singers, and they go to care homes in BC, and they sing happy birthday to seniors. Wow. James Tom, I'm proud of you. From seriously, honestly, I deal with teenagers, you know, a couple times a week, and today was rough. I know how teenagers can be, and so James Tom, you're doing all right. You know who is also doing all right? Jim Pattison. I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy, but if you drive on any street in BC, you're probably driving on a street he owns. You're probably passing a billboard that he owns, and you probably live in a property that he owns. Jim Pattison is the richest Canadian in Canada. I thought that would be redundant, but I guess you could be the richest Canadian in someplace else. But he's the richest Canadian in Canada. And he finally believes in climate change. It only took him 250 years. And I don't actually know how old Jim Pattison is, but if you looked at him, you would guess he's at least 250 years old. Jesus Christ. But there's hundreds of pictures of Ronald Reagan in Jim Pattison's house. So you know what? You know what we say to that? Fuck him. No, but anyways, he believes in climate change. And that's also a story on the CBC about how some old billionaire believes in climate change once he's dug everything up out of the ground. What do we, like, so I know I was just talking about, you know, the benefit of having elderly people in our society and how we should treat them nice, and how James Tom is a good guy for speaking to seniors. You know what I mean? But I did. I listened to the speaker. I would say, I think it was about a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and they were talking about how there's a difference between older people and elders. You know. Older people who just get old. Like, I had this experience earlier in the springtime when I was on leave. I was an illegal immigrant for a few months, and I was just like, I used to spend my days just like walking around and on my boat and just hanging out. And I have this romanticized version of old people, you know what I mean? Where I'm just like, wow, they got so much wisdom, you know, they got so much wisdom. And a lot of old people do have wisdom. So if you, you know, you have older people in your life, like, you know, maybe a grandparent still, or grandparents, if you're lucky, you know, or maybe you have older aunts, uncles or something, you know what, go talk to them and ask them about their experience and ask them, you know, the things that they have done and the stories that they have and the things that they wish they would have done. And, you know, and listen to them, you know. So I tried that. I went outside and I took a tumbler of tea, and I was walking around, and I was actually in Dude Chillin' Park, and I had just walked from a friend's house, and me and him were talking, and I sat down on this bench and I had some lunch. I think I had a burrito, and I was just like, and this old dude came and sat next to me, and I had a book, and I remember, and he asked me what book I was reading, and I told him he had a book, and he never opened it, and he just sat there, and I was talking to him, and I was just like, wow, this man has nothing wise to say to me at all. In fact, he's asking me for advice, and I thought that was really weird. But that's how I feel about Jim Patterson. Like, yeah, maybe wise and rich, but maybe he's rich. But, you know, if you look at this guy, it's like, you got nothing for me. Anyways, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about some good stories here that's going to happening in BC and how British Columbia is trying to change a few of its identities. Let me get back.
Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
We meet every Friday at 2 p.m. and we want your voice.
We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind.
No experience necessary.
Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Truth be told, I could do it lies. Who am I? I want new and alls on the day I die. I cannot decide, it's okay outside. I need me a light in the way of ride, right away. Don't be switching sides with the same old signs. I don't play. My new shorty dime, I prefer the fines. I don't pay. Said I'm waiting for a brighter day. On the lay, on an anecdote about my die today. What a day.
Told. I could do it last, who am I? I went new and all's on the day I die. I cannot decide, it's okay outside. I need me a light in the way of ride, right away. Don't be switching sides with the same old signs. I don't play, my new shoddy dime, I prefer the fines. I don't play, hey. Still I'm waiting for a brighter day. On the lay, on an anecdote about my daddy day. Oh my God, bitch, I feel amazing, it's still amazing.
Find out them, please give it to yourself. I can't find no peace unless someone else is here. See, I don't trust nobody. See, I say when I bleed, you don't care about my health. Oh no, this ain't the shit that I need when I plan to move stealth. So I don't trust nobody. You see all all the bodies in. I see why gotta move like this, groove like this. I really be about this shit, so solid. She thought I was exaggerating, be honest, yeah. Pure, just leave me alone and then I try to command. It's just so grand, you don't understand. I know I don't mind space, so if you get a saving face, I just can't fuck around that basis, no. If you find out, then please give it to yourself. I can't find no peace when there's someone else in here. See how I'm just nobody. See, say when I play, but you don't get by my head. Oh no. You know this shit ain't that deep, I'm just trying to move stealth. So I don't trust nobody. Don't know what to tell you, sis, but I won't speak on your talent. Just pretend lately. What about your common sense? Raise another way, maybe if it's said like this, consider we rising. Yeah, just left me alone and then I try to command. It's just so grand, you don't understand. I know I don't mind space if you don't care about saving face. I just can't fuck on that basis, no. If you find out, then please give it to yourself, to yourself. No. I can't find no peace when there's someone else in here. See, I don't trust nobody. You see, I say when I bleed, but you don't care about my health. No. This ain't the shit that I need when I try to move stealth. So I don't trust nobody. If you solidified, then I would raise the ground. You walk on to another path that I was kidding when you know I don't fuck around. Oh, I still wish you the best, but we just don't blend in the same way you found me. I receive your message, don't appreciate your method, so you can stop bounding. If you find out, then please give it to yourself, to yourself.
Just give it to yourself.
I can't find no peace when there's someone else in here. So I don't trust nobody. So say when I play, but you don't get by my head.
Nobody.
You know this shit ain't that deep, I'm just trying to move stealth. So I don't trust nobody.
You back it off the Bean Path here on 101.9 CITR. That's how they say it in the advertisement, CITR. Anyways, so one thing that I'm particularly skilled at is identifying trends. After I see a lot of information, I can synthesize that information and break it down. You know what I'm saying? But one of the things that really scares me about the future is how many articles that you read that are just about young people. Like in general, it's like young people will, you know, young climate activists are really rethinking how we should interact with energy. You know, young people are really understanding coal. You know what I mean? Young people are changing the way we see sexual assault. And I read those articles and you're like, yes, young people are going to make the change. Yes, young people are, going to be the generation. And then what scares the fuck out of me is the fact that I was once a young person and I used to read articles about young people and I was in those young people's group, and we've given up. Not like we've given up. We should keep trying. No, like in the sense that, like, honestly, I feel like not giving up in the sense that we don't want to see change anymore, but giving up in the sense that, like, yeah, it's never gonna happen. And so, like, I applaud these young people for continuing to try and continuing to push. You know, giving it the old college try. But there were so many things that I thought young people when I was a young person would do. Like, I'm not old, but I'm not young, you know, like that. And so, like, it's like, you never see articles that are like old people really pushing for climate change. You know, old people really understand, you know, the relationship in carbon must change, you know? And so honestly, this is like a totally different story than what I was planning on talking about this segment, but it's just like reading through the news and you're just like, that's depressing, because when those young people are not so young, there'll still be articles about like young people pushing for change, and it's just all some type of sick cycle and some sick game. And if this is the radio, if you're looking for optimistic looks at the future, this is not the radio show for you. You know, come back another day. There's lots of CBC content that talks about a bunch of bullshit, but there's a lot of CITR content. You know, people who are all different demographics. You know, you've got, I don't want to miss out on anything, so I'm not going to say anything. But listen, you've got every type of person here except for straight white conservative males. They don't seem to make radio shows here at CITR. So, you know, if that's not your desired listening demographic, you know, then you've got loads of content every day, and you can come here and you can listen. You can listen to CITR 101.9 on your radio. You can do CITR.ca on your browser, on your phone. Honestly, you can listen to it anywhere. You can come here and get a cassette tape. You can put it in your boombox. We'll figure it out. Anyways, I had no idea what I was going to talk about because I get derailed because sometimes I just am so not pessimistic about the future, but I just think like, God damn, man, we still have such a long way to go before we even can convince people that there's something wrong. One of the things that I see, like, look at this headline. Four young activists share their unique approach to climate action in the CBC project. Like, those four young activists will be working at a goddamn investment bank soon. Anyways, I don't know. You listen to this show, you probably can assume I'm not a capitalist. One, I don't own any capital. And two, I just think capitalism is suffering and little else. Anyways, how upset could you be if you created a show that was listened to or watched in, you know, more than 20 languages, you know, is distributed on the largest streaming platform in the world, you know, hundreds of millions of people have seen it and totally missed the message. Well, if you can relate to that, then you are the director and creator of Squid Game. Because I saw a tweet about this earlier. So while no thought is original, this one for sure only came after I seen the tweet. So anyways, I was just thinking about, like, as there's a Vancouver restaurant, I'm not even going to say which restaurant it is, that has changed it into like a Squid Game themed pop-up. And I just don't understand how you like watch the movie and then you think, you know what I need to do? Start selling shit. Like, that is the whole, I mean, watch the TV show, all 10 episodes, you watch 10 hours of TV and miss the message. What's the point? Like, I used to think that you could create art. And I guess once you create art, it's not left to, you know, the interpretation is not up to you. So you create art and, you know, that could be used to change people's minds. Like, you could create a game, you know, show like Squid Game and, you know, really show people how, one, horrible debt can be, how, you know, like the extremes of capitalism, you like take it, you blow it up and you make people perform or die. You know what I mean? You just, if I've spoiled Squid Game for you, that's your fault. You've had like 2 months to watch it. You know, and then people just completely miss the message. I can't relate because I haven't created anything, but that would just really, really upset me. You know, it's just like for people to just totally miss the point. Anyways, if you're going to go to that Squid Game restaurant, you know, I'm sure the food probably tastes fine. But it's just kind of depressing, almost as depressing as young climate activists rethink how we brush our teeth, you know. I feel like we're forever stuck in this hyperloop. Like, I actually just, I talk to my cousin every day because, I mean, I have a few cousins, but I talk to one of my cousins every day. Me and him, we have a good relationship, you know? And one of the things that, I've talked about this on the show before, one of the things we talk about is just how many people are online selling courses. Like, there's this one guy, I'm not even going to say his name, I don't want to give him any props, but he sells courses about how you can become, you know, how you can own an event space and how you can make six figures off your event space. Now, one of the things that I've never seen him on his Instagram do is throw a party. But I do see a whole hell of a lot of shaming you for not buying his course on event space management. And the crazy part is today I saw him buy a property. And I was like, you know what? I'm in the wrong game. Trying to be honest and trying to, you know, go to work and not trick people. Like, I mean, my job is that I don't help people trick people. I help people understand people. But, like, to go to my job and just trick people every day, while it could be a dream for some, I feel like I had a teacher that ruined that dream for me. My teacher, Mr. Zolkowitz, if you're listening, you completely altered my life trajectory. One day, he told me in class in front of all my friends, he said, "Hey, Issa, you know, you're smart. You're like evil, genius, criminal minds kind of smart." And I was like, you know what? I'm going to prove him wrong. And I should have proved him right. That's the path that I should have taken. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And I hate that I didn't believe in him, you know? Because if I was evil genius smart, criminal mind smart, and had the willingness to take advantage of people in their vulnerable state of wanting to be rich, I'd be rich right now. And so I'm going to think about that as we go to a musical break. And I want to know what you think. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487 for the people who can't read.
All right, then. Okay, let's work. Sometimes I think I'm just too humble. I don't want to shit on all these dudes. It's not my style. Yeah, y'all told me just remember. World's your oyster if you got the drive. Want a five-car garage. Wifey from the Bronx in a squad. Who gon' pull up like my last name Minaj? I don't wanna be scared of the dark no more. Running marathons from all my thoughts no more. If you don't like the world, gon' make one. Review. Looking like a conference of past me's. Beat you. Sticking to your guns and your day ones. You'll be closer to that shit than you were last week. Try to leave enough for two. I was colorblind instead. You my baby to the death. Where you can't get out of bed. Know you irreplaceable. I tell those demons to the left. My wave is Sean Carter's. My word is bond like I'm Sean Connery. Is what my gas tank don't ever say. I think of better days. Or what Pharrell would say. If you don't like the world, gonna make one. If you looking like a conference of past me's. Beat you. Sticking to your guns and your day. Shit, then you will last.
try to leave enough for two.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, we got a great show for you here. It's off the beam path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we're getting to the good stuff. So, you know, Halloween was Sunday. I'm sure some of you people dressed up, and I'm sure some of you people listening are just clowns. No, I'm sure. I'm sure actually nobody who listens to the show is a clown. Listen, I am still on a high from last week when I had a caller call in and tell me how much you like the show. Honestly, that really makes me feel loved and good. And so you guys know, if you listen to Off the Beam Path, if you're a regular listener, you know, when it comes to animals versus humans, I'm rooting for the animals all the time. I think animals should take their rightful place on the earth, and eventually they're going to push us out. I can just feel it. Hopefully I'll be long dead by then, but, you know, who knows? Shit is happening way faster than you ever thought. So, anyways, a pet monkey of a Texas Longhorns coach, which is girlfriend, bites a kid on Halloween. Woman blames the child. Honestly, I'm torn. I'm torn in this story. So I read the story and I'm like, you know what? I read it. I was like, you know what? Dumbass football coach and his girlfriend got a monkey. And of course that monkey bites a child. And I'm like, you know. Then I read the story. And this is a special teams coach, Jeff Banks. If you don't know what special teams is, it's unimportant for the story. And allegedly, their monkey bit a child while it was trick-or-treating. The monkey's jaws had to be pried off the kid. Now I'm trying to figure out, what did the kid do? Listen, I've been around kids before. Sometimes kids need to get bit. Like, you know, there's always a kid who bites. You know, like that. There's always, like, a biter kid. Like, I'm sure that when you were growing up, there was a kid who just bites people. Like, you're just like, bro, what's wrong with you? This kid just bites. And, you know, for every one kid that bites, I'm sure there's 10 kids that deserve to get bitten. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that's the only way you can get people off of you. It's to bite them. You know what I mean? And anyways, Jeff Banks' girlfriend, Danielle Thomas, a.k.a. the Pole Assassin, was fined because their monkey allegedly attacked this child that ventured past the confines of the haunted house that the couple was holding in their yard. Now, could you imagine having a haunted house? And like, you know, listen, I don't like haunted houses, honestly, because they scare the shit out of me. Like, I get so scared at haunted houses. I don't know why. Like, knowing that the people are not going to touch you, I feel like, man, I was a kid, you know, I feel like one of those, like, long fake fingers just, like, touched me in my back. I have this vivid memory. I was at school and it's like, and then, you know, the chainsaw without the chain, God damn, whoever job that was to run around with that chainsaw without the chain, you are sick. You are sick. You need help. Just the way I'm sure the look that, like, you can't do that job without, like, getting some sick feeling of goodness. You know what I mean? Like, and if you feel good doing that, then you're sick. But, like, also if you, that's the only way you can do that job. Anyways, that person is sick. Anyways, I'm scared of haunted houses. And this kid will be too, because they went past the haunted house and they blamed the kid for being somewhere it shouldn't have been. And then the monkey attacked it. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I read that story and I was like, you know, it's got to be the kid's fault. But then you read it and you're like, well, the kid was just in a place he shouldn't have been. And they say that the kid was the place he shouldn't have been. But what about the monkey? You know what I mean? Like, that monkey isn't native to Texas. They don't have monkeys in Texas. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm pretty sure monkeys are not native to Texas. And so they blame the kid. I think we'll, like, I don't know what I would do if, oh, there's a video, so you can go check it out on Twitter if you're interested. I don't know what I would do if a monkey bit me. Like, first, I guess I just have to hope that I didn't have, they didn't have rabies. And then, but I feel like if your monkey bites me, like, maybe I wouldn't want the monkey, but that monkey is now my pet monkey. Like, you can't just take that monkey back. The monkey bites me, me and that monkey have a bond, you know what I'm saying? And now I want that monkey. Anyways, if a monkey bites me, I got problems, because I don't really want to be anywhere that monkeys are, to be honest. Like, I've never seen a pet monkey. Like, I used to want to, obviously, I feel like everybody used to want a pet monkey. Like, I'm sure that you probably have wanted some weird pets in your life, but there's two weird things that I wanted when I was growing up, and one I still want. One of them was a ferret. And listen, before you judge me, ferrets used to be cool. And if you say they never were cool, then you know what? Then you probably were not cool, because I'm telling you, as a cool person, ferrets used to be cool. Anyways, and to ferrets and a flamingo, but to eat. I think, you know, for that brief time that I feel like, you know, a lot of people were on Clubhouse, that was my most successful Clubhouse room, was asking, you know, what wild animal would people want to eat the most? And obviously, I've got this 20-year thing about flamingos. So honestly, if you know where I can get some flamingo meat, let me know, because I would still eat one. Anyways, people are pushing back against a report that links marijuana to uncontrollable vomiting. And, like, I feel like there's so many things. You know, we talk about young people changing the world. The real thing that's changing, I feel like this show is just full of contradictions, and I hate that. Because I'm saying the real thing that's holding people back is old people. But yet, at the same time, I say we don't honor old people enough. So what's the real answer, Issa? You know what I mean? What's the truth? Do we honor old people too much by allowing them too much legislative power and allowing them, you know, to make rules and findings like marijuana gives people uncontrollable vomiting? That sounds like something that they would have told you in DARE. You know what I mean? Like, I was going to say, raise your hand if you had DARE. But then, like, obviously I can't see all 100,000 of you hand raised. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't work like that. But I feel like that's something they would have told you in DARE. DARE makes you, weed makes you vomit uncontrollably. And as someone who's smoked quite a bit of weed in their life, only time I've ever vomited uncontrollably is from alcohol. Like, this is big alcohol pushing back on weed. Like, this is one big conspiracy theory. No, but seriously, so there's a recent study published from JAMA Network Open, a Colorado health facilities, and they said that they've experienced a drastic surge in vomiting shortly after marijuana was legalized in Colorado. And they never once thought, maybe they have thought about this, but like, for me, professional researcher, you know, I would say that, like, maybe they should look at what people are eating, you know, after they consume marijuana. Because the only time that I've ever vomited after smoking too much weed is when I have been drunk and smoked weed. That will give you the spins. That's scientific. That's science. Like, they could probably saved a few $100,000 if they would just ask me. Anyways. So much bullshit is going on. But you know what's not bullshit? Honestly, this is like real life. I would like to say like a real life Liam Neeson, but you can't even say like Liam Neeson ruined it. Like honestly, Liam Neeson, like I could have done without a Liam Neeson story last year because he's ruined it. He's so racist. He's looking for a black person to kill. If you never heard this Liam Neeson story, Liam Neeson, his friend said she was sexually assaulted by a black person, and he went on a manhunt for 1 week looking for a black person to kill. Now, it's crazy. You know how racist you got to be for you to live in a neighborhood where you can walk around for 1 week without seeing a black person? He really walked around for 1 week looking for a random black person to assault and couldn't find one. That's how racist Liam Neeson was. He lived so far away from black people. He walked around for a week, couldn't find one. Anyways, so there was a man in Washington whose daughter was sold into sex trafficking by her then boyfriend. And the dad tracked the boyfriend down. Well, first he saved his daughter, tracked the boyfriend down, and then killed him. And now he's on trial. And I feel like, you know, I've donated to quite a few GoFundMes in my life. And I donate to this guy's GoFundMe as well because I don't feel like that's a crime. I don't feel like you should go to jail for that. But I'll withhold my dollars until I find out what part of Seattle is, what part of Washington he's from, because it makes a big difference for me. I'll let other people donate, but I still don't think he should go to jail because I feel like, you know, them the rules, you know what I mean? I just feel like he shouldn't go to jail. And, wow, just some weird stories, you know, like that. Like, here's one. Superman comic creators reportedly ask for LAPD for protection after Superman's bisexuality prompts threats. One, you made a bisexual Superman. Do you think that the LAPD is going to protect you? I don't know. Like, I don't think the LAPD would protect me if I made a bisexual Superman. But, you know, who are you going to ask? You know what I mean? Sometimes you're just stuck. Like, this is just who I got to go with. And two, who the hell cares so much that Superman has increased his lovers 2 times? Like, that they want to threaten comic book people? Like, I just can't understand. I just don't understand. I don't understand who cares about comic books that much. Like, I got a lot of friends who are nerds. Like, I got some nerd friends. And I love them. You know what I mean? And when I say nerd friends, I mean people who just like to read comics. Like, there's nothing nerdy about reading comics. It's just what I call them, you know? And I just could just never imagine them being so mad that they threaten comic book people over a fictional character. And then it sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. And it also sounds ridiculous when you read it in a comic. Like, if that was in a comic, if there was a comic about these people who threatened to kill, maybe that's what the next episode of this Superman should be. It should be about a bisexual Superman who goes and finds these comic book fans, I guess, and gives them a super ass whooping. I guess that's what you have to do. You just kind of, I feel like if you're the comic book writer, you just got to play into it. Honestly, if you care that much about comics to make death threats to, you know, animators and comic book writers, maybe you should just put the books down. You know what I mean? Go outside. Go take a walk. Please. Leave us the hell alone. Then probably walk someplace far away. Far, and just keep walking, you know? Anyways. Everything else is sad, honestly. All the stories else I picked out, I'm just kind of not in the mood to talk about. So I'm going to find one. I'm going to find one that's funny, and then I'm going to end the show, you know? Let's see. Here's one. I mean, it's funny to me. I'm sure it's not funny to everybody. But the DEA seizes over 920 kilos of cocaine stashed in lawn equipment headed for New York City. Now, you know what I find is interesting? Like 920 kilos of cocaine. Now, I never sold drugs before. I do know that a kilo of cocaine is $20,000 just because that's just it's common knowledge, you know? If you watch a lot of TV, if you watch as much TV as me, you'll know a kilo of cocaine, 20 bands. Now, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine being the person responsible for like making sure that shipment got there okay, because I mean, well, I guess you don't have to worry because that person is probably dead already. But also, how come these stories never find the people who actually packed the cocaine? You know what I mean? Like, there's a story about this Colombian individual who was arrested for his cocaine smuggling, but like, there's got to be more than just one guy. You know what I mean? Like, these are multinational businesses. It's wild. Yeah, and the last story is just there's no good story. It's just like I feel like I'm over the point where I'm like laughing at people who are anti-vaxxers who are in the hospital because now it's to the point where it's just kind of sad. You know, there's the Buffy actress who's currently hospitalized and on oxygen, and she was like a COVID-19 denier, and like there was a time, you know, maybe a few weeks ago where I would, you know, I was less mature and I was just laughing at these types of people and just really just being like, damn, can you believe it? You know, like that, like, you know, but now I'm just kind of like, damn, that's sad. Like, you know, you could have saved your own life and you put millions of other, you know, you put, I'm gonna say millions, but hundreds of other people at risk. Maybe thousands of people at risk and it's sad. So I hope people get better, but it doesn't really feel that way, you know? You know what doesn't feel good? When teachers are still continuing to wear blackface in class, which they did on Halloween on Friday. Like, damn. Just because the prime minister did it doesn't mean you could do it as a teacher. And with that, I'm out. Y'all have a nice day. Honestly, we do this every Tuesday. Next week, I'm going to expect you guys to put in your half on the show. I'm just kidding. Listen, you're just here to listen. And I'm just here to talk. And we do this every Tuesday. 8 to 10, Crimes and Treasons. Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, Malik, myself. Homeboy Jules when he's in town. And Horsepower, when she's not horsepowering. And then, from 10 to 11, you got me. And you know what? I'm happy to be here. Y'all have a good night. I'm out.